This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Lisa Lane, who's the president of Lane Innovations, an e-commerce business based in New Jersey. Lisa is reinventing the way we rinse, clean, and bake. Lisa, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you.
Hi, Maria. It's great to be here.
Oh, my God. I am so excited about what we're going to talk about today. Okay. I can't wait to jump in and talk about Rinseroo. I'm so impressed by the innovation behind the company. If anything, I'm impressed by a lot of things, but the innovation is really one thing that I'm just so excited about. Let's start with, what was your why? What was the inspiration behind Rinseroo?
You know, Maria, it's interesting because I really had no plans to become an inventor. And I think that's typical of a lot of people out there. Like sometimes you just get this aha moment in your head and you're like, oh my gosh, like I might actually have something here that people could find and use, and it could be a problem solver. And I was actually in my shower at my beach house. And when we're all there, my whole family's there. There's 15 of us, 4 dogs. And I found myself in the shower, cleaning shower walls and bathing dogs more than I was up at the beach. And I'm like, I was filling a bucket to clean the shower and to bathe the dogs, filling it over and over. And I thought, right there in the shower, I had this aha moment. And I'm like, you know what? There's got to be a better way. And then I thought, well, if I could think of a way to just sort of make this thing easy, instead of, we didn't have any handheld shower attachments. So I thought, if I could come up with something that could easily attach to the shower head and bring water instantly to where I needed it, and I could get rid of this bucket, I'd be onto something. And I really just, it was literally that, just right there in the shower. And the more I researched, I thought, you know what, this could be a mass market product. Potentially anyone with a dog could use it. Anyone who's a renter, maybe doesn't have a handheld shower attachment. And then I just, from there, just thought, I'm going to pursue it. And that's sort of where it all started. I can't hear you, Maria. I can't hear you.
Sorry. That's there. Incredible. I love it because you know, you're just like me. I every problem I have, I'll solve it for myself. And then, my mind, my marketing side of will come in and say, hey, wait, how can you share this with others? How can you help other people? And it's just incredible how you took something that was a pain point and decided to turn it into a business. Now, you've seen success really quickly. I mean, most businesses take so long to, it takes on average 3 to 5 years for a business to really start breaking even and making a profit. Mm-hmm. And you went into 7 figures just within 2 years.
Yeah.
Anything you figured out once you started, or maybe in the midst of your business journey, anything specific you figured out that you would say took you to that level?
Yeah. You know, I think the key, especially if you're selling on Amazon, is to see what's out there and find a way, instead of, you know, drop shipping from China, whatever, if you can find an unmet need or find a product where you're not going to copy it, but you find a way to improve on it slightly, maybe go to their product reviews. What are people saying about that product that could be improved upon? And if you can think of a way to make it slightly better and make your own version and solve all those problems, I think you have a game changer there, especially if it's a product for the masses. And really, that's what I did. I just looked online. I thought, well, there's other products that are sort of similar, but they have to be installed. And hey, if I can make this easier for people, I'm onto something. And I think that's the key, is just improve on what's out there initially. And then you have something, and then obviously, you know, the marketing and the sales and all that come afterwards, but start with a great product that fits a need for sure.
I like that. And the fact that you're saying improve the product rather than, I find a lot of people wanting to reinvent the wheel, and then they either run out of money or they just run out of patience and passion and all of that, and then just stop doing it. But if you're just taking it and tweaking it a little bit, the chances are it'll be an easier project to accomplish than to start from scratch. Can we talk a little bit about utility patents? I'm very curious about that. How was that? Did you have to hire an attorney or did you do it yourself?
Well, in my case, I was lucky. My old college, one of my best friends from my freshman year of college who lived on my floor also happens to be a patent attorney. And, you know, I knew that patenting a product is important, especially if you want to scale it and grow it and really have a business that's worth something. Having a utility patent is extremely valuable. So, you know, initially I thought, well, my concept is so similar, I don't know if it's really patentable. Mm. So for anyone just curious, you can go on to Google Patents. You can do a simple Google search and type in, you know, whatever it is that you're thinking about, and you may see similar patents show up. And then after doing that, if you find that maybe you have an unmet answer to something, you could reach out to an attorney. A lot of them will just consult with you initially for free, just to see if you have something. And they could do a more intense patent search. And then from there, you can decide, do I want to patent this? But the key before actually getting a utility patent would be to just do the provisional patent. That's a period of 1 year. It doesn't cost much to file a provisional patent. And you can actually sell your product for a year to determine what the potential success of this product might be. Mm-hmm. After the year is up, then you can say, hey, this is worth pursuing. I'm going to now pursue the utility patent. So that's the way I would go about it.
That's pretty smart. I love that. And it's more cost effective.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people have this fear of sharing their ideas, even with attorneys. They're like, oh no, he's going to steal my idea. I'm like, well, your idea will be nothing if you don't share it with anyone and get the ball rolling, right?
Exactly.
What's your advice on that?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Eventually, like you said, you're going to have to tell people. And in fact, you eventually want to tell the world. That's why we have people like you doing the marketing and all that. So, you know, I would initially sign a simple NDA. You know, you could tell someone. Most people, if they're willing to help you and they're actually reputable, they'll sign that without a problem. And you know, once you have that in place, you kind of are covered. You really shouldn't be afraid of what, you know, I don't know. I just feel like that's like the initial thing, just a simple NDA, but eventually let it out there for sure. The problem, you know, even if you have a patent on Amazon, people, if it's successful, will eventually try to copy you.
Right.
The beauty of Amazon, as you know, if you have a trademark, you have brand protection.
Right.
So of course, within a couple of months, I had people copying Rinsuru. They were using my image of me on their listing. It's a little frustrating, but when you have the brand protection, you could take down those infringers with just a copyright. You know, you write into brand protection on Amazon and say, hey, here's my copyright, here's my website, this is what they're copying, and boom, they'll take it down instantaneously, like within a day. So I've done that. I've also hired a great company called Red Points, and what they do is scour the internet internationally, and they'll take down infringers on my behalf. So we pay them a monthly fee to do it. But they've been very successful in protecting our brand. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, the patent stuff and the IP protection is so important to maintain your price point and the brand itself. If you don't have that protection, it's a race to the bottom. Everybody's copying, and what used to be $25 is now $12. So you want to really focus on that for sure.
I had no idea that a company actually exists just to protect your brand. That's really amazing. So it's called Red Points. Okay.
Yes, that's just one of them. There's a few that do that service.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now in terms of, I'm going to go back to utility patents again. When you started thinking of the idea, did you actually go into production and creating the first sample, the prototype, and then think of patenting the product, or was it just more in your head and then you put it on paper, talk to an attorney, and then go into production?
Well, I think it's important to have at least a working prototype. right? Because if you have an idea and you don't know if it works, why would you go onto that attorney and start spending some money? Right. Come up with something that, you know, is tangible, usable, workable, even if it's a very rough thing, just to prove your idea works. I would start there and then move on to the contacting the attorney and whatnot.
Awesome. I want to talk a little bit about manufacturing. It's so challenging. And I've been in manufacturing myself about 15 years ago. I had a shoe company and I owned a shoe manufacturing facility in North Hollywood. And it was just really challenging to keep up with the competition in China, you know, just like their prices are so inexpensive. And I was one of those business owners that did not want to manufacture anywhere else. I wanted to create jobs in US. And then I went in and did it and it was fine. And then when I wanted to scale, I couldn't because one, I could not find employees to hire and scale the company. Two, it was just too expensive. What was your journey like? And what advice do you have for the listeners who may have an idea and may want to start, but they're kind of scared of the whole manufacturing side of things?
Yeah. You know, I, like you, I am all about manufactured in the USA. I literally said, you know what? I have this idea. That's what I want to do. I want to pursue a US manufacturer. And unfortunately, Maria, when I started to do that and do my research, it just was not feasible. They were so, I hate to say that, but it's the reality. So it was not feasible to manufacture in this country, but I did end up having to go to China. But I will have to say, and not a lot of people think of this, it's because of my manufacturer in China that I am able to grow and scale in this country. So as a result, I hire employees, I hire accountants, I hire marketers. So I feel like despite the fact that it's China, I still am employing people in this country. And without that China connection, none of this would ever have happened. So I totally promote the fact, go where you need to go to make it happen.
I love that. I never thought of it that way. I really never thought of it that way. I always thought, oh no, I need to do everything in US and stick with that. But then if you really think about it, if you can't, like that's what happened to me. I could not scale. I could not keep up. And then I was going to take on an investor and I decided not to at the time. My kids were too young. And so I ended up pausing everything and sold parts of the business and I paused. And I looked back and I'm like, wow, okay. And I wish we had met back then. I probably
never say never. But you know, there are people out there that do love to bash the whole international manufacturing thing. Right. And that's always my comeback. Yeah, you know, like it really makes sense. It really does. Don't be afraid. I mean, certainly you want a good manufacturer, you know, vet them. But hey, if it makes it happen and it wasn't possible otherwise, go for it.
Lisa, I want to ask a bit of a personal question. What's your definition of success?
Oh, gosh. Definition of success. That's a good one. You know what? Obviously, I think most people equate success with money, right? That's a little part of it. And when I, at the end of the year, can see what I netted, I'm proud of that. That's fun. That's great. But that's not my priority. I am thrilled to just say that I created something and I brought a problem-solving product to people that can use it. I actually have people email me daily. Hey, I use this on my disabled daughter who is unable to shower. She has to sit in the shower. That brings chills to my spine. I love the fact that it's helping people. It's solving problems. You know, it sounds silly, but that's the honest truth. And I love being, you know, to talk to others, to give them inspiration, to come up with, you know, create whatever's in your head, bring it to life. It's so much fun. It really is. And I think that's success, being able to do that and look back on it for sure.
You know, you're the first person who said that to me because I'm obsessed with taking ideas and productizing it myself too. I'm obsessed with that. I'm obsessed with that the first two phases of the journey that you would have to go through. And I know most people are so scared of that part, the beginning stages, right? To take the idea, to figure everything out, and then to actually productize it. So it's a tangible, and to me, that's success. And then later on, whether it's sales or not, I'm just like, okay, it's not about the money. It's about the fact that I came up with an idea and I turned it into an actual tangible product.
Yeah.
People laugh at me. They're like, but that's not success. And they always tie it to money. And I feel like success, the word success needs to be redefined. I hate it.
Definitely. I mean, how fun was that for you when you saw your shoes that actually like people are buying these and I created them. That's so cool. You know, and that's like that little creative genius in your head to be shown into a product. It's like phenomenal.
And wouldn't you say when you think of it that way, you end up actually succeeding easier and money ends up coming? I feel like if I had focused too much on the money side of things, then I probably would not have made the beautiful, I mean, my shoes were, we were partnered with Swarovski and we had over 3,000 Swarovski crystals on each pair.
Oh my gosh, I want them. I know.
I'm waiting for my girls to get older. I was waiting for my daughters to get older so I could go back to it. But then I had a surprise baby literally 8 months ago. So now my daughters are like, so what's happening with the shoe company? Are we going to wait 18 more years for our brother to get older? And I'm like, I don't know. But
yeah, you know, that's the key too, is the timing has to be right. And you know yourself, if it's not right, you'll get there though. And you know, that idea still exists. If it's a beautiful shoe, it can always be sold, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're an inspiration because you're not just an inventor and entrepreneur. You're also an author, which I'm so impressed by. And one thing I just want to ask you before we part ways, what advice do you have for the listeners who are so scared to take that leap to really take the entrepreneurial journey?
Well, you know, I love quotes. I go onto Instagram and I follow all the quote givers and the entrepreneurs. I love following other entrepreneurs. And I always say, you know, if you think about being an entrepreneur as like being in a tree, right? You're in this tree and you know, you could grab a little piece of bark off the tree, but the real fruit, the fruit on the tree is at the end of that branch. If you're on an apple tree, where's the apple? It's at the end of that branch, right? So I look at my entrepreneurial journey that way too. You have to reach out to the end of that branch to get the fruit. And you know, that branch may break or you may risk falling. And that's also the case with entrepreneurs and just, you know, take that risk. Be willing to go out on that limb because that's where the fruit lies. And I encourage people like, just go for it. Like, I never want to look back and say, I wonder what would have happened if I pursued that idea that I had in the shower. I am happy that I did it and can look back and say, wow, look at what I did. And I encourage everyone else to do that as well. Just wait till the timing's right.
I love that. One more question. Funding. How important is funding when you're trying to scale and mass produce?
Well, you know, thankfully, I mean, I'm old, right? I'm 57 years old. So when I'm 57,
you don't look 57 at all. Please don't mention that. We're like 37.
Well, thank you. But I had the benefit of being older and I was not a young person, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. Thankfully, I had some over the years, I had saved some money up and I didn't have to, you know, reach out to friends or family or investors. I was able to bootstrap on my own with my own money. But I did it conservatively. I got an estimate. I wanted to know what exactly is this going to cost? You know, is it reasonable? And, you know, you start out small, you test it. And then when you find out that you have something, then you can scale it. You can bring in the investors. You know, I just was lucky in my case, but young people are so entrepreneurial. A lot of times they just don't have the cash to do it. But just think about small to start and then scale. And then you figure it out as it comes, for sure.
That's great advice. And that's what I did. I mean, I, you know, instead of going and shopping and buying shoes and bags, I would just buy leather and Swarovski crystals and I would make things. And so that's my obsession. You know, a lot of my friends are shopaholics. They love clothes and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, I love investing in ideas and productizing it. That's my, that's my obsession. But to your point, you can start small. You can bootstrap it and start small. And nowadays with e-commerce, you don't even have to have the product. You don't have to have an inventory. You can simply have a few samples and then take photos and just put it out there. You get orders, just give yourself enough time to go make it and then ship it to them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But wow, Lisa, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing all the wisdom, your experience, and how and where can people purchase and learn more about Rinzaru and purchase Rinzaru if they're interested?
Well, I don't know when this is going to air, but I'm actually going to be on QVC tomorrow morning. So it's my first QVC debut. I'm so excited. I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited. So we'll see how that goes. We're also on Amazon.com, Amazon Canada, Rinzaru, Rinzaro.com is our website. We're on Walmart.com. We're on Chewy. We have a pet version and a shower version. The pet one is on Chewy. And yeah, and you know, we have social media, follow us, Rinzaru on you know, TikTok. And TikTok is so much fun, isn't it? I just coming up with videos and it's fun.
So I love how easy marketing is in a sense becoming easy in the sense that we don't have to have this huge production set up and this crew to do things. And we can simply create fun content
yes.
and share our story and our company and our products. But I also dislike how fast it's moving and the trends are moving. And I'm about to create one video and then the trend is changing. And my daughter,
exactly.
Please don't do that. That's so cool. I'm just like, I can't keep up with it. So yeah, that's a whole different interview we have.
Oh yes.
Talking about social media and how, I guess, our age demographics needs to figure out how to go with it, right? But Lisa, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me today. I hope to have you back again because I would love to learn more about QVC. I know you're going to be successful.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm happy to, always happy to be on here for sure. You're such a great, smiley, happy, great marketing person. It's a thrill, really.
I get excited about entrepreneurship. There's something about it that since I was a child, I was just so obsessed. So when I hear people's stories, it just excites me. It's like,
yeah, and I love, you know, it's so fun. You learn from each other too. Yeah. Entrepreneurs, you share ideas and we just learn and scale and grow that way.
That's
especially
good.
Women and women.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Thank you for mentioning that. Women to women. That's the key there. Thank you. I wish you so much luck and we will have all the details in the show notes for our listeners to follow and support you.
Great. Thanks so much. Enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
Same here.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.